do what His Word says. We obey the principles of His Word, and He works because of that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is a scripture that if you've been around church for a while, you could probably quote most of this one. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." So there's the requirements. Humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways. And then God says, if you will do that in response to that, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That is probably the prayer for national renewal in the Scripture. And they prayed that over Israel. They obeyed that, and Israel was blessed. But in modern times, it is the prerogative of the church to actually pray prayers like that, and God intervene in society. God intervene in our city, in our province, in our country, and even in the world. That's why just about every time this church family begins to pray for foreign missions and foreign missionaries and for countries and revivals and crusades, you remember what happened about 3 weeks ago. The presence of God just whoosh, in this building, and all of a sudden God started moving and the gifts of the Spirit started operating, and people literally just almost ran to the altar that Sunday night 3 weeks ago because we were hooking into prayers just like that. And you know, there are times that God works because of us. But I've got to tell you, and this may be a comfort or a frustration to you, depending on what side of the equation you fall on, but sometimes God works in spite of us. You see, there's some people that think that by their nonchalant, indifferent, critical attitude, that they can somehow hinder the progress of the church of the living God. And I'm just here to tell you that there's a lot of times God works in spite of us. God has to work in spite of some people. I want to be one of the people God works because of what I'm doing, not in spite of what I'm doing. Look at this scripture. This is really unusual. 2 Timothy, Paul writes to this young man who's kind of his protege, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. Paul says, it's a faithful saying. In other words, you can take this one to the bank. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So here's what he's doing. He's drawing a comparison. If we die with Christ, and you know, we go into the tomb with him, and we know that we do that by baptism, we shall also live with him. We'll be resurrected like him, and not only resurrected to walk in newness of life, but there's coming a great resurrection. So Paul says, if we're dead with him, we'll also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And he's doing it again. If you suffer like Christ suffered, then you're going to reign someday like he reigns. So we're doing this parallel thing. And then he says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. So again, he's drawing the parallel. Jesus said this. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So he's doing this parallel, you know. Death, death. Life, life. Suffering, suffering. Reigning, reigning. Denying, denying. And he's doing this parallel. This is what happens because God responds to us the way we respond to him. That's how it works. Except here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. You can say, I don't believe in God, but God will never say, I don't believe in you. You can say, I don't understand, I don't have much faith, but God remains faithful even when you don't have a lot of faith. Why? Because he cannot deny who he is. So are there times in your life that you've been unfaithful? Or let's say it another way, you haven't been full of faith. Have you ever found out that even in those times when you struggled and floundered and even fell, God remained faithful? Have you ever found that? So that's one way that God doesn't treat us like we treat him. And the reason is that while we can draw a parallel with everything else that goes on, and God responds to us the way we respond to him, this is one way that God works in spite of us. If you're not full of faith, God still controls the universe. If you've had some doubts recently, God is still in control of your life and your circumstance and your situation. Why? Because he cannot deny who he is. He is faithful even when you're unfaithful. You can't draw a parallel there. God is totally above us in that way. There are times God works because of us. There are times God works in spite of us. But I've got to tell you here, and this is what I came to tell you this morning, that all of the time God works. You cannot stop him from working. You cannot stop him from doing. You cannot stop him from causing things to happen. You cannot stop him from undertaking for his people. You cannot stop him from letting his church grow and adding daily to the church such as should be saved. You can't do anything to stop that, because all of the time God works. Job, in the oldest book in your Bible, the book of Job, Job chapter 23, verse 8, Job said, "Behold, I go forward. God's not there. I look backward, but I can't perceive him." Job said, "I'm looking all around me and I do not see the hand of God in my life. On the left hand, where he doth work," someone say work, "but I cannot behold him. I look to the left, he's not over there. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Job said, "I look all around and I do not see God at work," but he caught it right there, second line, "on the left hand where he doth work." He's out there somewhere. He's doing something, but I can't perceive him. I can't see him. I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't sense him. I don't understand what God is doing. But then he says, he jumps into faith in verse 10. He said, "But he knows the way that I take. And when God has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God's tried me. I'll come forth as gold. God is doing something in my life, Job said, that I do not understand and I don't even like. But when God is finished, I know this about God, that God is not doing anything to me to hurt me, and God is not doing anything to me to harm me or limit me. And when he is finished trying me, I shall come forth as gold. Job had that confidence. The psalmist in Psalm 77, he said, "Will the Lord cast off forever?" Look how depressed and how down he is. "Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" And I said, "This is my infirmity." It feels like, it seems like, I sense that God has forgotten me. His mercy's not extended toward me. It seems like his promises have failed and heaven has shut up and God no longer has me in a favorable position with himself because of what I see all around me. This is my infirmity. But in the middle of what I don't see, don't sense, don't touch, don't see, in the middle of all of that, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works. Someone say the works. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works. Someone say work. See, God's working even when you don't sense it. God is working even when you don't see it. God is working even when you can't reach out and touch it. God is working when you would stand up to give a testimony this morning and you would break down in tears because you can't sense where God and how God is working. Someone else, it's a good week for them. They could stand up and tell you how they were healed. They could stand up and tell you how God delivered. They could stand up and tell you how God blessed their finances because it's one of those weeks for them, but it's not one of those weeks for you. And if you stood to give a testimony this morning, your testimony would involve a lot of tears and you would feel very deeply about the heartache that you're facing. But in those times, the psalmist said, "I will meditate on God's work. I will talk of his doings. I'll talk about somebody else's miracle until I get my miracle. I'll talk about somebody else's healing until I get my healing. I'll talk about how God brought somebody else's child or spouse or parent back to the Lord before I ever see that happen in my family. I'll talk about somebody else's testimony until I get my own testimony. I'm just going to keep talking about the works of God until God comes through for me, because I have faith that even in the nighttime, God works the night shift. It's not the day. I don't see what God's doing. I don't sense what God's doing, but I trust what God is doing. And so I'm just going to hang on. I'll talk about somebody else's healing while my body is racked with pain. I'll talk about somebody else's deliverance while I'm still struggling. That is what church is about. Look at the last line of that little passage in the final verse, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? I'll tell you how we do it. We kind of get discouraged pretty quickly. And we kind of give up pretty prematurely sometimes. And people say, I'll try this God thing. And if God comes through for me this month, then I'll serve Him. I'll keep going to church. But God didn't come through for me last week. And so I'm just going to pitch out of church and I'm going to sit at home and I'm just going to give up on God. And you've done exactly the wrong thing, because the psalmist caught it. He said, thy way, O God, it's in the sanctuary. If I can just get around some other people that have been healed, some other people that have been delivered, some other people that have seen miracles, then I can just get in the middle of all of that, because God's way is in the sanctuary. I understand Him better when I get in the middle of His people. I may still be sick, but I know some brothers and sisters that have experienced the healing power of God. So I'm going to hang on to their testimony until God gives me my own testimony. I don't have a saved family. And I come to church every week and I look around at the husbands and wives worshiping together, and I go home to a spouse that's not serving God. I look at those quizzers up on the platform and I think how wonderful it is to have little kids that are serving God, and my kids aren't serving God because I made some bad choices early on in my life, and I'm here alone. My spouse isn't here with me. My kids aren't here. My parents aren't here today, and I'm all alone, and I really feel bad about it, and I feel like God doesn't understand, and He hasn't come through, and I've prayed prayers, and He hasn't answered. But that's why I keep going to church, because I just keep getting around somebody who got an answer to prayer last week, and a healing last month, and their family came back to God last year. And if I can just stay around that, God's way is explained to me in the sanctuary. And I just need to be around that. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we'll be back tonight. That's why we come back on Wednesday and on Saturday. That's why. Because if we can just get in the sanctuary enough, we can hold on until God comes through on His own time for us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The New Testament, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God began a good work in your life, if you're brand new around here and you don't understand all the ways of God yet, you don't really get everything that God does and how He works and why sometimes it seems to take forever to get prayers answered. If you don't understand that yet, hang around, because He who began the work in you, He's able to finish it. Man, there's a witness of the Holy Ghost in this room this morning. There's a little sandwich thing happening in Romans chapter 8. And if you've got your Bible, I need you to turn to this one, because I want to show you something. It's like a sandwich with something in the middle that's very important. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray. How do I pray? How do I pray over my spouse? How do I pray over my kids? How do I pray over my family? How do I pray over someone that's sick? How do I pray? What is the will of God? Sometimes I don't know what the will of God is. Is the will of God to deliver them now? Is the will of God to let them kind of beat their head against the brick wall longer? What is the will of God? I don't know the will of God. And that's when the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts, God, He knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know why this church is a church that believes in speaking in tongues and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit? It's because there's a whole lot of times we don't really know what's next. We don't really know how to proceed. There are even services where your pastors, we're just kind of walking across the platform or walking across the front saying, God, lead this service, because we don't know exactly how to proceed. But the great thing about a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church is that every once in a while, the Holy Ghost just takes over and the gifts of the Spirit direct us this way. Or the worship of the saints of God directs us this way because the Holy Ghost moves in His church. And that's why every so often, we'll just stop up and people lift up their hands. And if you're a guest with us, you'll hear somebody speaking in a language and you think, what is that? Is that Chinese? Is that some kind of different dialect? What is that? That's somebody speaking in a heavenly language. They don't have any idea what they're saying. But as they're praying in the Spirit, the Lord is praying through them. And you don't have any idea what got prayed here this morning. You don't have any idea what prayers got answered here this morning. Because we're in a group of people that are filled with the Spirit. And people pray prayers. They don't even have any idea who they were praying for, what country they were praying for, or what was accomplished while they were praying. That's the great thing about being filled by, led by, and empowered by the Spirit. And this is a Spirit-filled church. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our identity. We wouldn't lay that down any more than we would cut off our right hand, because without the Holy Ghost, we become just another religious institution in the city of Fredericton. We're not the least bit interested. There's all kinds of places and people filling that role. What we need, what we hunger for, what we long for is the rich moving, the deep moving of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand. I don't know what to pray for. I don't understand. Skip down to verse 29 for a minute. For whom He did foreknow, God knew that you would serve Him. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, He set the circumstances of your life up so that you would be conformed into His image. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus came first, we come after Him. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, God set up all the circumstances of His life. He called them. And whom He called, He justified them. He made it as if they'd never sinned. Made them a new creature. And whom He justified them, He also glorified. God has the ability to look from right now into the future and see you in heaven. And He's so excited about it. That's why He keeps walking with you and blessing you. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How do you kill somebody who, if they die, they go into a much greater dimension of life with God forever and forever? You're just doing them a favor. How do you knock somebody out that every time you knock them down, God steps into the worst trial you could imagine and He brings good out of it and He blesses them through it and He grows them through it and He delivers them through it? How do you do anything to that person? How do you deal with a person like that? You can't. If God be for us, who can be against us? Someone say, I don't understand. That's the first part of that passage, way up starting in verse 26. And then this last part is this. But God has a plan. Someone say that. But God has a plan. I don't understand, but God has a plan. And then in the middle is this little meat in the sandwich, verse 28. Here's how you can keep your head above water in the circumstances of life. Verse 28, and we know. Three words, say them with me. And we know. Say them like you believe them. And we know that all things work together for good. All things are good? No, not what it said. All things work together for good. Good things, bad things. Encouraging things, discouraging things. Listen, listen, listen. Things from the hand of God, things from the schemes of the devil. Things from the church, your church family, things from the world. No matter what gets thrown at you, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The key in the middle of that little sandwich there, on one side, we've got, I don't understand. And on the other side, we've got, but God has a plan. That's what Paul's explaining. And the key that ties them together is to have the confidence in the middle of your circumstances that God is still in control and that everything, someone say everything, someone say all things work together for good. Not just the pleasant things, not just the easy things, not just what you would consider the blessed things. All things work together for good. Come on back to the music. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet who often was used in symbols. His name was the prophet Jeremiah. And God used him many times to do many different things. God often used men in the Old Testament like that. God used the prophet Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I want you to take a little trip today. I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to watch him work on the wheel. I want you to watch his hands as he forms a vessel out of clay. I want you to watch as he makes it and smooths it and decorates it. As it spins on the wheel, I want you to just watch. Here's the scripture in Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words." You're going to learn something at the potter's house. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work." Someone say work. He was working. The potter was working. He was working the clay. He wrought a work on the wheels. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. As he was working, something happened and the vessel ripped or broke or something happened to the clay. The potter didn't give up on that vessel, even when the vessel was destroyed, even when the vessel as is was no good." The Bible says in Jeremiah that instead of giving up, it says he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. So Jeremiah said the potter didn't give up. He just molded that vessel again. He crushed it on the wheel and he started forming it again. And he just kept working that and turning it on the wheel until that vessel, to all appearances, was as good as new. The potter. "And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Israel." Can I tell you this morning that you are also in the hands of the Lord and you are an unfinished work. You're on the potter's wheel. You're in the potter's hand. Your life is not in the hands of the enemy. So even when the enemy does things against you, your life is still in the potter's hand. And he still works. Your life is not in the hands of the world. So even when people do things against you, your life is not in their hands. Your life is in the hands of the potter's. And so even the bad things that happen to you, the potter can work them into the clay and he can make them good. Now, this is hard for people that live for God and understand Scripture and understand doctrine, because we get so used to being around here and knowing the ropes that we buy into the lie that sometimes now our life's in our own hands. And everything that you do has some cause and effect relationship with how God loves you. Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? Just because you make a mistake doesn't mean God turfs you. If we are not faithful, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And when a vessel is marred, the potter doesn't even stop working. He just takes it and he makes it again. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." I came to this service this morning not burdened. I got to say, I don't feel burdened for anybody. I feel determined for somebody, that God's going to help you get this morning. That although you are in the nighttime right now, God, right now in your life, right now in your life, things you don't understand, sickness that has held on far too long, family members that are not serving God, you are in the nighttime. And God is working the night shift. He's not waiting to start working to bring you out. He's working all the way through. He's working right now. You can't see Him. You can't sense Him. You can't touch Him. You don't understand. But God still has a plan. Can I get you to lift up your hands right now? I'm pretty much finished, but I believe the Holy Ghost wants to talk to us for a couple of minutes here this morning. Feel very much in the will of God this morning. Lord God, I pray You'd help us in the next couple of minutes to connect with someone here so that Your Spirit can connect with them. God, their life's been marred, and You want to make them over again. And what they don't realize today is that You've been working all the way through this situation. They feel like other people have given up on them. They feel like people don't believe in them. They even feel like You've forsaken them. But all the while that has been going on in their life, You've been working the night shift. God, help us to realize that sometimes what we see as a setback is You arranging the answer to prayer for down the road. Help us to get that, Jesus, this morning. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Can I get you to stand with me this morning? And please be very reverent of what the Lord is doing here this morning. I know this is a little quieter than what some of you would prefer, and probably about right for others. That doesn't really matter. We're not looking for an emotional response right now. We're looking for the will of God. Can I get you one more time to lift up your hands in the presence of God? Because God wants to heal someone this morning. He wants to mend someone. He wants to remold and remake someone's life this morning. That's what we're up to right now in the Holy Ghost. Can I get this great church to just let out that spirit of prayer that's right there on the tip of your tongue? Can I get you to just let out that spirit of prayer that's right there? When you pray in the Spirit, you don't know who you're praying for. You don't know what you're praying for. That's why it's so